Well, what a great promise from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we sang that last hymn, Come to Me and Rest. And we have all been there. Every one of us know about the heavy heart, those things that burden us so from time to time. And Bruce mentioned it earlier, things don't always go the way we'd like for them to go. There's the ups and the downs of life, and that's a part of life. But Jesus says, come to me, those of you who are weary, abide in me, and you will find rest. And that is so true. We find our comfort, our grace, our salvation, our eternity, our joy and peace in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the question I have for you is, well, you know, do you believe that? And if you believe it, and if you know it to be true, and if that has happened for you, then your job and my job, your role and my role is to tell others about it, because they too have those burdens, and they seek many things to give them that peace and rest. They seek it in so many things, and some of you that are here are testimony to that. But it will only come when our hearts and mind are ready to receive the King, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And then, you know, before I read the scripture, we sang the song, Yes, Lord, Yes, Lord, Yes, Yes, Lord. And we're all about that, aren't we? When things are going well, we're all about it. We're all about it when it doesn't cost us anything. And so I think that particular scripture leads to this Palm Sunday message that I want to share with you today. So we are reading now from Luke, the 19th chapter, reading verses 28 through 40. And by the way, it's great to be back with you. I'm missed you last Sunday. I am thankful for Lee and our lay leaders who led our worship service, and for Bruce, Michelle, and I. And today was my Stephen's birthday, so we were able to spend some time with him last week. And we were able to be in church at a place there called a Celebration Church. It was a non-denominational church. It wasn't a Methodist church. It was the closest church. And they had a service at 8:30 in the morning. And even though it was 12 minutes away, it took us 30 minutes to get there because the GPS took us a different way than we wanted to go. So you can't always follow that. Or maybe you can if ours was up to date, right? I mean, it was 12 minutes. We could see it. We had to go all the way around to get there. I don't know. That's the way it works sometimes. I think maybe we were a minute late getting there. And that's the way it goes when we are in other places. So let us look at the Word of God this morning on this Palm Sunday, a great celebration in the life of the church, because we are reminded in the very first few verses of how what a joyous occasion it was. The triumphal entry. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, and the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village opposite you. Now, notice right away, this is Jesus giving the directions. It is Jesus giving the command to his disciples. And we hear it in there. He doesn't say, please. Doesn't say, if you please. Doesn't say, would you. But he tells them to go. And that's important. It's important for you and me because the scriptures give us commands all the time. What we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live our lives, how we're supposed to treat one another, how we're supposed to be the church. How we're to show love for one another. It's a command. And in this particular case, the disciples follow that command. Go into the village opposite you. where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. The plan is already there. It's already set in motion. Now, it doesn't tell us that Jesus prepared this beforehand, or maybe his disciples, or maybe one of his administrative disciples. You know, maybe one of the disciples was like the administrative secretary. It doesn't tell us that. But it is important to know that preparation was being made and had been made. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosening it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Now that's important. Because the Lord has need of it. Why does a pastor or maybe a lay person ask you to serve on a certain committee or take a certain position? Because the Lord has need of it. Not because the pastor does, but because the Lord has need of it. That's important. The Lord has need of you and me, just as he had need of this animal at this particular time in this particular place. Why does the Holy Spirit speak to you and ask you to do something sometimes? Because the Lord has need of what you have to offer. And every one of us in here has something to offer to Jesus, to God. Because he has prepared us beforehand for it. The Lord has need of it. He has need of what we can bring to the table. You know, we hear that question, what do you bring to the table? You have a lot to bring to the table. Now, do you suppose the disciples had any idea of what God wanted, what Jesus wanted to do with that donkey? Do you suppose they did? Do you suppose they had any idea of what was getting ready to take place? Maybe so. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? It's his property. He had worked for that donkey. He had probably saved up money over the years. He'd probably negotiated with somebody to have that colt. It was his. How would you like for somebody to step in your yard one night and just take your car? You say, hey, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, God has need of your car today. Especially if you just bought a nice new one, right? And it's always not spanking new. Why are you doing that? And he said, the Lord has need of him. There it is again. The Lord has need of him. The Lord has need of you and of me. Now, the guy didn't say, well, why does the Lord have need of it? And the disciples didn't explain why. That is not for us to answer, is it? When Jesus calls, or when God calls, we are to be obedient. We are to give him our all. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. That's what we sang. But we don't usually respond with that kind of enthusiasm, do we? Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. They took their own clothes off, their cloaks, and put it on that donkey. And as he went, they were not the only ones. Many of his followers spread their clothes on the road. Now, this particular gospel doesn't say anything about palm branches. Mark does. And this story is in all four of the gospels. Then as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. For the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. All was well for those few moments, that time. All was well. I mean, you know, they were just reveling in that special time, in that special moment. What a glorious time it was. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd saying, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Hey, keep it down. What do you mean behaving, causing such a ruckus? You're too loud. You're going to get us in trouble. That's what they were afraid of. And, you know, the Romans didn't like a big stir and a big ruckus going on because that to them that meant trouble was starting to be instigated. And so the Pharisees were looking out for themselves. You ever look out for yourself? Oh, we all do, don't we? We don't need anybody to tell us how to do that, do we? We know how to do that just fine. Oh, yes, we do. But he answered and said to them, listen to this. I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. I love that. I love that verse. That shows Jesus' sovereignty and command of the whole situation, not only of human beings, but of nature itself. Yes, you can say it's a metaphor, preacher, you know, it's a metaphor. But hey, he commands the waves, doesn't he? And they obey, the wind obeys. These very stones will cry out. Jesus has need of you and me. But if you don't do it, and I don't do it, he'll call somebody else to do it. But he wants you, and he wants me. The very stones will cry out. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for this passage of Scripture on this Palm Sunday. For it reminds us of the glory and presence of your power and of your nature. We pray now that as your Holy Spirit empowers each one of us, especially your servant, as you go forth, as the word goes forth, may you use it in a mighty and powerful way so that your will would be done in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the opportunities I had this past week was, I walk in the morning. Many of you know I have a pedometer and I try to get 10,000 steps a day. The only way I can do that many times is to get up in the morning and at least get to 3,000, 4,000, or 5,000 steps. If I can do that, I can usually accomplish the 10 is basically about 5 miles of what it comes to. So while I was down in Disney World this week, one of the areas around there, it's a beautiful place to walk. But as you walk from place to place, it's called a Pop Century place. They have all these little tidbits and of things that have happened in the past. And so as I was walking through one of the, walking down one of the trails there, there was a sign up there. It said, in 19 so-and-so, the Beatles came to America. And as they got off the plane and were getting ready to go to the Ed Sullivan Theater for the Ed Sullivan Show, the first, many of you remember this, 10,000 screaming teenagers. Some of you remember that picture. Some of you are here, you're probably saying, well, who are the Beatles, preacher? I have no idea who they were. 10,000 screaming teenagers were there. And I remember, you know, as a kid, I remember seeing some of those pictures, and they had tears in their eyes, and they were just screaming. They had a wonderful effect on people. And here's Jesus coming into the Mount of Olives, and, you know, people were just screaming, and, you know, they're praising him. About 4 years later, a reporter, well, I think it was called a newspaper, I think the Evening Standard, I forget what it was. She was having an interview with John Lennon, who was one of the Beatles, for some of you that don't know that. He was one of the Beatles. And in the course of the interview, they got to talking about different things, and they got around to religion. These reporters always get around to religion, because I think sometimes they want to catch you. They want to catch a star, a famous person. And so she asked John Lennon about religion, about Christianity. And John Lennon said these words. I want to quote it to you. He says, Christianity will go. Some of you might remember this. It will vanish and shrink. We're more popular than Jesus now. Some of you remember that, don't you? I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Christianity. Jesus was all right. This is still part of his quote. Jesus was all right. But his disciples were thick and ordinary. It's them twisting it that ruins it for me. We are thick and ordinary. The disciples of Jesus are, and I don't know what that means. You can read into that anything you want. Well, in England, not a whole lot happened, but in America, there was such a backlash. People were throwing their albums in bonfires and doing, I mean, it just, and people went on a campaign to try and devastate the Beatles and what they stood for in their songs. Now, they said later on that John Lennon apologized. But there were a lot of people, and there's probably some to this day, that have never, never forgiven them. And we are reminded in this passage of Scripture how fickle people are. You know, a celebrity or a person can be so famous one day, and then the next day, or maybe a few days later. Fame can last only so long, and then people are moving on to the next thing, whatever it is that may be. And so in this passage, we are reminded of how fickle human beings are. Because as Jesus comes down that mountain and getting ready to go into the gates of the city, and as I reminded our children, God had given his son for you and for me. And Jesus getting ready to enter that city, he didn't ask anything of the city. He was freely heading down that mountain, going into that city, knowing very well what was going to happen to him, just as he knew where that donkey was, just as he told the disciples what to say. He was in charge. God was in charge of every little thing that was going to take place in that time and in that moment. And so people were yelling, and they were welcoming him and with such vigor and such excitement, because they knew and believed that Jesus was going to be their military savior. He was going to come with horses and men and soldiers and warriors and in violence bring Jerusalem and the nation of Israel, as it was at that time, back into the control of those who needed to be in control of, and not Roman occupation. And so we find now, we see how easy it is when things are happening the way that we want it to happen. We see very clearly in this passage of Scripture, as long as it is about me and what I want and what I desire and what I need to have, Jesus, you are right with me. That's what John Lennon said. Well, Jesus is all right. By the way, I'm going to veer off here a little bit, okay? By the way, a couple years later, there was a song that came out that Jesus is all right with me. I think the Doobie Brothers and a couple others made it famous. They didn't write it, but it went to like 37 or 38 on the pop chart. You didn't need to know that, but I just thought I'd tell you. And I wondered, was that a response to what John Lennon said? I don't know. Was that a response to what he said? But how easy it is for us to give all the hoopla and praise and power and ourselves to a person or persons who we think are going to meet our needs the way we want them to be met. And as long as they're doing that, we're going to give them our allegiance. We're going to give them our presence. Might give them our money. But we find out very quickly, don't we? And that's what Holy Week is about. We will find out very quickly how things will change. And we find out and know that this whole story changes in just a matter of a couple days. That when Jesus is tried and is getting ready to be crucified, not a single one of those disciples was ready to even stand up for him, let alone give him a praise or a thought or an encouragement. Because the whole dynamics had changed. Jesus was no longer going to be that warrior king, but he's going to be the Savior king. And do it in a way, and do it with a power that they had never seen before, never witnessed before. He's going to do it with love. And because he didn't do it the way they wanted it to be done, he wasn't all right with them anymore. And maybe you've had that happen to you in your life. When you wanted to be the Lord of your own life, and you wanted to be the center of the universe instead of God and instead of Jesus. And so you ask a prayer or you wish something, and when it didn't happen that way, Jesus was not all right with you anymore. And we meet a lot of people out there on the street the same way. Over in Philippians 2:8, 9 and 10, we read these words. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee should bow. Every knee should bend. It's easy for us to bend. But how hard is it for us to kneel, to show humility, and to live with that humility? And an integrity that comes when we really, really, really want to make Jesus Lord of our lives. And that's what he wants for you and for me to do. He wants us to make him Lord of our lives. Now, Jesus went down into that city and everything was wonderful and powerful. But it didn't take long for things to go sour. And that's the way it is with life, isn't it? Boy, one day everything can be just so good. And that next day or that next moment, or that next time, a crisis can occur. And then, where does our heart and our loyalties lie? Jesus reminds us on this Palm Sunday that he wants your allegiance and my allegiance throughout all of life, in the good and in the bad. We are reminded very quickly here of just how temperamental we can be. Jesus Christ went to the cross for you and for me. And he went there and he continues to be our Lord and Savior, whether you want him to be or not. He's going to do, and he did what God wanted him to do and called him to do. Because that's who he is. And he calls you and me to be his servants because he has need of us. He has need of us when things are going great, and he has need of us when things aren't going so well. And if we give ourselves to him, if we give our heart and soul and mind and body to him, he will do great things in your life and in my life. It's easy to come to church and shout and praise and give thanks. But what happens when we go out there and people are ready to ridicule and people are ready to make fun and folks are ready to challenge you on your beliefs because you are a Christian? Was John Lennon right? Are we thick and ordinary? Is Christianity going to go? It won't go. It never will go. But God calls you and me to be his servants to make sure that that doesn't happen. He has need of all of us. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for the opportunity you give us to worship you today. We have come and we have heard your scripture for us. As we prepare to go out into the world, God, may we commit ourselves to give our full allegiance to you, our full heart and soul and mind. And we are here. Take us and use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.